My name is Gavin Dahl, station manager for KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, and you're tuned in to the Carbondale Trustee Candidates Forum, co-hosted by the Carbondale Chamber online at carbondale.com, the Third Street Center online at thirdstreetcenter.net, the Soper Sun online at sopersun.com with a beautiful new website, and KDNK at kdnk.org. We are in the Callaway Room at the Third Street Center with a whole bunch of local folks. Real excited to hear from the candidates for Carbondale Trustee. We're going to be introducing each of the candidates and then getting into a series of questions. In this case, we have not given the questions to the candidates in advance. So one of the things we thought would be interesting would be to hear folks kind of think on their feet or on their seat, as the case may be. And we also tonight be hearing from Mayor Dan Richardson, who's running unopposed. We asked him to join us as well, as we always like to hear from him. Ballots will be going out in the mail next week. Election day is April 3rd. And of course, there's a ballot box at Town Hall where you'll be able to drop off your ballot in person if you like. And I believe that the swearing in happens in April. It sounds like Frosty's last meeting will be April 10th. And so we may see new trustees sworn in as early as that. So without further ado, let's let the candidates introduce themselves, starting with Lonnie Kitching, please.
Good evening. My name is Lonnie Kitching. Thank you all for coming. It's good to see you all here. I've been a Carbondale resident for 18 years, and I've participated in a number of different volunteer activities that have taken me across a bunch of different industries and interests pertaining to the Roaring Fork Valley. I've been part of the Garfield County Economic Development Partnership for a number of years. We explored broadband, and I'm also part of the Garfield County Water Forum, where we've recently had a drought management meeting, so that was very timely given the year that we're having. I've belonged to the Mid Valley Collaborative that studied healthcare issues and identified pathways to better healthcare services and senior services. And I've also been part of the citizens group that explored the early days of economic development here in the Roaring Fork Valley from 2011 to now. So that's basically me. I am also a business owner here. I am an outdoor outfitter, so some of you guys may have noticed my vehicles tagged up around town that look like the Grateful Dead. The company is called Proudline, and so I'm very attuned to the outdoors. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lonnie. Next up is Erica Sparhawk.
All right. My name is Erica Sparhawk. I was born and raised here in Carbondale and left for a period of time and moved back about 7-8 years ago now. I work for Clear Clean Energy Economy for the region. And before that, I worked in oil and gas conservation in Montana. I'm a mom. I've got two daughters here in the school system in Carbondale. And I also coach one of their soccer teams. And I've been on the board for the Dandelion Market for the last, coming up on 2 years in May. So I care passionately about Carbondale, and I think we have tons of great assets, including where we're located. It's one reason why we moved back here. And so I'm happy to be here and serve the town of Carbondale on the Board of Trustees. Thanks.
Next up is April Spaulding.
All right. Hello, I'm April Spaulding, and I'm originally from Southern California. I have a passion for Carbondale and the Roaring Fork Valley. I've spent many, many years in the volunteer aspects of things. I currently am on the KDNK board. I have a show on KDNK. I have volunteered at the American Legion, Dandelion Days, many things, food and wine. But I have worked in the service industry in town, so I feel like I have a great perspective of the working man. I've been at the Village Smithy. I've been at the Poorhouse. I'm currently at the American Legion. I also have my own small business. I have a photography business. I do outdoor landscape. So I spend a lot of time outdoors and enjoying the beautiful area that we have here. I have a passion for it. I believe in the growth of Carbondale with the respect to our outdoors. And that's about it for now. But thank you for being here tonight.
Next up is Heather Henry.
Thank you all for coming. My name is Heather Henry. I'm an 18-year resident of the Valley and 12 in Carbondale. Upon moving here, I too started, a long kind of period of volunteering, starting with the Community Foundation Springboard to the Aspen Historical Society. Once I moved to Carbondale, I really wanted to get involved in the town. So I served on the Parks and Recreation Board and Planning and Zoning for about 4.5 years. And then now I've been serving about 1.5 years as an appointed trustee. I, too, am a small business owner. I co-own a landscape architecture and land planning company, as well as a software startup for landscape professionals as well. Truly enjoy raising a family who's there in the front row and cheering me on avidly, and Crystal River, my daughter. I just truly enjoy this community and love to be a part of keeping it the place that we all adore and treasure. Thank you.
Next up is Luis Iones.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Soper Sun Chamber and KD&K for putting on this candidate forum. And thank you all for coming tonight. My name is Luis Iones. I'm the most recent appointee to the trustee board. I'm a native of Miami, moved here with my family about 8.5 years ago to the Valley, and about 2.5 years here in Carbondale. My background is I've been involved as management of nonprofits in the arts field for the last 20 years. And my involvement has been in the community with KD&K, mainly as a DJ and also on their community advisory board. But one of the things that really got me interested in getting involved in the town was how important and how strongly people feel about Carbondale. I feel that this is a unique place in our valley, that we are lucky to have such beautiful place and unique characteristics of this town. So it's important to me that we approach growth cautiously, but at the same time realize that we have, as town trustees, an important part to play in our responsibility for the future generations who are going to, you know, come enjoy the rest of the, enjoy our town. Thanks.
And last in line today is Mayor Dan Richardson.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to the Sun, the Chamber, and KD&K. I'm Dan Richardson. I'm the current mayor in the town of Carbondale. And I often get the question, why are you running again? Didn't you just run? And for those of you that don't know, I was elected a trustee 2 years ago. Stacey Bernat moved out of town. And so I was appointed but had to run again in order to make it official. So I'm convinced the reason I'm running unopposed is because everybody just got tired of seeing me going door to door. So thank you. But it really has been an amazing 2 years. I tell people that this is the best board I've ever worked with, and I think we've been able to accomplish a lot. And we've been able to accomplish a lot because of other organizations as well that do a lot of the heavy lifting, and our job has been to remove hurdles, and I think we've done that pretty successfully. So it's an honor to be part of this board, and I look forward to the next 4 years. Thank you.
All right. One other thing I forgot to mention is that we have tonight 5 candidates for the trustees, and there are 4 open seats. The top 3 vote-getters after April 3rd will be seated for 4-year terms, and the 4th place vote-getter will be seated for a 2-year term. So meant to mention that before. 5 great candidates for 4 seats. So here we go. The first question, and we're going to start with Erica on this one and maybe work our way this direction. First question is, how would you balance development and small town character?
No pressure. First question out of the gate. I think one of the things that people love about Carbondale is, and I hear the term thrown around a lot, is kind of this messy vitality, or maybe not messy, maybe funky vitality. So I think we have a lot to build on historically. We are one of the most kind of diverse economies in the region. If you look at our comp plan, we're one of the only local economies that is not completely reliant on tourism. We're not reliant on oil and gas like our partners in the western part of the county. So we have benefited from having local artisans, a lot of local entrepreneurs. We have software developers, and yet we've been able to maintain this small town character because we've we've had that, I think, for a long time. It's really authentic. I've got a friend who did a paper on how important the village smithy was to initially creating a sense of community that wasn't at a bar scene for the community, and really brought the farmers and ranchers together, and the coal miners, and the early residents, you know, who were moving here, like my parents in the late 60s and early 70s. And so, and we've continued with elements like that in our community that I think keep us a really tight community that others I know envy across our county and across our region. We've always, you know, really put an emphasis on outdoors. And I think that's just everybody who moves here loves the outdoors and wants to preserve that and participate in it. So then in turn, that brings a lot of business for recreation, you know, such as fly fishing guides or, you know, the mountain bike community. So I think we've done a good job. And I think we can just continue to ensure that we keep it a community that people want to be part of and live here.
Thank you. April, you'll be up next.
I definitely believe that Carbondale is amazing in their small town, the way that we present ourselves. I love, as Erica said, our diversity, be it the old-time coal miners that still live here. I have a friend who was born on one of the potato farms almost 100 years ago, was one of the early immigrants that came here with the from an Italian family. You know, I love the fact that we have these people. I love our artists. I love our working-class people, and we all do work together. I somewhat... And I know that Erica didn't try to say that tourism is our main economy, but it does play a huge part here. And I do feel like some of the small businesses may feel like we have kind of a attitude that we're closed for business. We just need to take care, you know, we're just catering to our residents, which the growth is here. It's happening. So we do need to figure out how to keep our small town and to grow properly and in a sensitive way to that. And I do completely understand that we need hello, Amy. I know it's okay. I apologize. But you know, I do. I love our small town. I love that we have this creative district that brings people here, and then we have all these other businesses in town that keep them here. We've got local breweries, restaurants, we've got architects, we've got the outdoor industry, and that's what keeps people coming back here. And I think we can maintain that small town feel with that. So that's my
thanks. April. Heather, you're up next.
Thank you. I think that a lot of what creates and maintains small town character are characters. And we have a lot in Carbondale. We have creative characters, we have colorful characters, we have entrepreneurs, we have just hard working individuals, all demographics, all socioeconomic categories. And so I think that that's a big part of what is the envy, right, is the people that make up the community. As far as then how to balance the development, well, all of the characters have come together for the last, you know, 12 years to put in place a comprehensive plan and then a unified development code that basically said, this is who we are, this is what we want, this is where we want it, this is how we want it to move forward. And honestly, those documents really arose, you know, not out of leadership, but out of the citizenry of Carbondale. And so then that's been a huge guiding documents, right, for planning and zoning, for the trustees to basically say, and we revisit it all the time, because it really is, does whatever is before us fit with what this town said they want to be in the next 2 years and 5 years and 10 years? And so the balance, you know, comes not from one of us as an individual or me as an individual and what I think, but I think out of those documents that worked really hard to define small town character. In my profession, I've been all over the West, and that is the greatest challenge. What is it that defines your small town character? And so we rely on those documents to really tell us. And so that's what I appreciate is the past 10 years that has kind of established a lot of that information and a lot of the guiding documents that we use as a vision.
Thank you, Heather. Luis, you're up next.
Thank you. You know, I think it's a lot has to do with the uniqueness that we have here in Carbondale. Just the other day, I looked at a photo from what this town looked like in the 70s. And granted, I wasn't here, but I mean, it's you can come here and still recognize what the town looked like back then. But you can see how the growth has just been managed, I think, fairly well. But it's growth is inevitable here, and it's going to happen. And I think it's up to us as a community and as the trustees to manage that in a way that still retains that small town character that we have here. And it gets a lot of what has brought people here over the years, over generations, and it's what keeps people here. So I think we can't lose sight of that as we see this inevitable growth that happens, and we don't want to look like what the rest of the valley looks like. So I know that it's important to many of our citizens that we retain what makes Carbondale unique, and it's Main Street. It's, you know, our, like people said, it's the characters and the community that the people that are important here. So as long as we maintain sight of that, I think we will continue to head in the right direction.
Thanks, Luis. Dan, you want to take that one?
Do you want to go to Lonnie? So,
sure. Lonnie, why don't you go ahead and go next, please?
Okay. So it's really important to me not to overlay a manufactured facade over our history-rich community. There's enough of that across the West, and Vail being one of them. You know, we've got these little Western towns popping up that have absolutely no history behind them. They just look like a Western town or a ski town. If our buildings could talk, like the old Dinkle building, they'd have some pretty interesting stories to tell. And I would hate to lose that. So building around that to keep what we call our small town atmosphere is really important to maintain, I think. And then around that to put in some things that are complementary that meet the needs of the folks here, whatever that might be, whatever we decide and whatever comes forward. Okay.
Thank you. Dan, you want to chime in?
Sure. I would just echo some of the thoughts that were spoken previously, that because I had two campaigns, I was able to really think about what makes Carbondale so great. And it's a challenge, and I would encourage all of you to try that. It's not a challenge to identify, but it's a challenge to boil it down into a statement when someone asks you, what is Carbondale? And I think Heather hit the nail on the head that our board has been the beneficiary of a lot of thoughtful codification of what everyone here is trying to articulate through a comprehensive code and through the comprehensive plan and the unified development code. And so we've said, this is what we want. And now it's our job to interpret that. And it's made our jobs a lot easier. And I think we and the community have been very successful because of that. One of the things that I say when people ask about the economic development or what's going to keep Carbondale the same, I think is anything that comes forward, yes, it has to comply with the comprehensive plan and the UDC, as we mentioned, but it has to be for and by Carbondale. And that sounds a little corny, but there's been some ideas proposed to us and to me that just don't really fit what we've done in the past. And I think we've found a good recipe. It's really hard to state what that recipe is, but it fits. So you kind of have to adapt to Carbondale, and chances are you'll succeed. If you really try and change what we're doing, you may not have as much success because it's just a good thing we've got going. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, well, let's keep moving here in terms of time. Next question, and this one we will start with April. What does Carbondale's economic future look like to you?
As I mentioned in the last question, growth. It's here. And I understand people that have, I understand especially with, I want to use the term old timers, but I think that the people in town use that term freely. And so I will go with the fact that, you know, a lot of the old timers, my family, my husband's family, his kids are third generation Roaring Fork Valley. So, I mean, I hear the stories. His grandfather poured the first concrete on Main Street, you know, things like this. I hear what it was like. Okay, I wasn't here myself, but I've been here for 10 years now. And I do hear what it was like, and it sounds like it was amazing, and it's still amazing, but we're going to grow, and it's happening. And so what we need to do is embrace that. We need to figure out how to, as we said, keep the small town feel, but we need to bring businesses in. Main Street is sad to me right now. I'm sorry. Main Street has many, many empty businesses sitting there. And I understand that when you own a property, it's your property to do what you want with it. But maybe, I don't know all the, I obviously don't know all our planning, zoning structure. But maybe we need to have something where we're not letting people just buy up businesses or property and let it sit idle. I think that it's sad when people come into Carbondale and see these empty storefronts. It happened in Rifle. I do some business out there, and in the last 3 years, it seems like half the businesses on Main Street, which is their 4th Street, whatever, are sitting empty, and I can really see what's happening. And when I see the empty storefronts here, it makes me sad. It makes me, we have vibrant, awesome small business owners. They cut their own grass. They mop their own floors. They are passionate about what they do, and they are community. Our businesses like the Smithy, or, you know, our bars, our breweries, our the American Legion. We sit around, we learn about each other in those. And so the growth is here and it's coming, and we need to support that. And I truly feel that.
Thanks. Heather.
Thanks. Yeah, a couple of thoughts come to mind. I mean, we're a sales tax economy, so to foster economic development is a got to. It's not a like to, it's a got to. So I too, we have empty storefronts, and we have to figure out how to fill those storefronts. I believe the future is that we're building on our existing strengths. So we have now kind of established ourselves, the envy of Carbondale, is as this creative district, the arts, the entertainment, the dining, and those pieces of the puzzle, I think, are forming an amazing foundation to grow from. As we fill some of those existing storefronts, then start to tackle what new commercial might look like. So we've started to hear that maybe there are some barriers. The question is being brought forth out of our existing business community. So the existing board and mayor have really kind of opened ourselves up to listening to what that really means. What are those barriers? Let's identify them very specifically and work through each of them. There are some things that we won't be able to tackle, cost of construction, things like that. But there are other things that I think arising, again, out of the chamber and the existing business community, that we can really work through some of those pieces of the puzzle and see which of these things are going to help foster and empower the same kind of independent entrepreneurs that have created our breweries and our restaurants and our galleries and things like that, that can fill the existing storefronts and really bring forward more sales tax, and then ultimately build enough of a base to continue some of that commercial growth in the areas where it's appropriate. Obviously, bringing in the housing to go with those jobs is critical. All pieces have to move forward together at the same time. So that's important as well, to think about how to bring jobs and housing here at the same time.
Thanks, Heather. Luis?
I think the economic future for Carbondale has to do a lot with the commercial district that we see along 133, really the development of what's happening in the future for us with City Market, and that as it leads into Main Street. I agree there needs to be, continue to be vitality on Main Street, so that when someone owns property, it's not just an asset on their portfolio, but really something that they intend to develop and bring to the vitality that's part of our town. I think it's also important to continue to support our nonprofits, like what is here in the 3rd Street Center, because to me that is so important. Myself working for a nonprofit, that is what really creates us as a unique community, that we know we all want to support the common good, whether that's through through wilderness workshop and the protection of the Thompson Divide. I think so much of what we will rely on in the future is we talk about the outdoor recreation element to our town, and I think that draws a lot of people in. And so we can't lose sight of that in terms of the economic engine that will eventually be Main Street as it continues, and also through 133. So I think it's important for us to look at it as a big picture. And I know that as part of that is also the factor of regional housing, affordable housing for a lot of the people who will come and work in these areas. So I think it's, you know, it's a big picture, but it has to be maintained into what works within our town. So thanks.
Thanks, Louise. Lonnie, we're going to come back to you, please.
Thank you. Sorry. I believe that our economic future will strengthen when we find a way to attract and develop Carbondale-compatible businesses that drive revenue from outside the community. The reality is that we can't sustain, let alone grow, our economy by selling in the closed circle of just ourselves. So working together with the state and Region 11 that we belong to for support in that endeavor will be key for us to identify those compatible businesses within the strengths that have been already identified and make them attractive to those that come here to visit and those who are in the valley around Carbondale that will come here to support those.
Thanks. Erica, please.
Sure. It's very different getting to answer last.
Okay.
Some great points were brought up, and so I'm going to touch on those a little bit, but also add a few others. I think the work that Carbondale Arts and the Creative District is doing and has been doing for a while is really key. And like Heather said, it just builds on kind of the existing culture that we have, that we, one of the things that we all love about Carbondale. For our economic future, what does it look like? I think that's really interesting for us to think about. We had somebody come to a trustee meeting from GlenX. It's based here in the 3rd Street Center. And they proposed this very different looking future Main Street, which has kind of been sticking in my head since they said it, and talked about how, we're going to have more co-working stations. We're going to have more tech companies. We may have less retail. We may have fewer restaurants, which to me, it was mind boggling for me to even think. It was outside this paradigm of that we've been operating in. But technology is changing quickly, and you know the world is changing quickly right now, and so it's something we may have to think about. Is we may not have in the far distant future a sales tax base like we do now to rely on. So how are we going to adapt and keep our codes up to date and just keep our economy vibrant in spite of that? The other key component that I think we're our future economy is going to have is sustainability. We already have 38 clean energy companies in our town. And that is companies that work on energy efficiency or renewable energies. We're the home of Solar Energy International, even though they left. They've moved to another community, but they left an imprint of a lot of, solar energy educators here. And the 3rd Street Center right now, is a model of energy efficiency. We have the Marble Distillery that, is written up, it seems like, every other week about their green initiatives, bringing people here to learn about those. So I think that's another key component that we'll have as we move forward in the future.
Thanks, Erica. Want to add anything, Mayor?
Sure. I think it's just important to note that's been alluded to. There's two components to this question. One is the town's financial future or economic future and the community's future. And I think both are thriving right now. And I'm pretty excited to say that. So what we want to do as a town to make sure we can keep the doors open, as Heather alluded to, is we need sales tax. But that may not be what's best for the community to thrive. So to me, that's where that balance lies, is how do we maintain our healthy financial future, but how does the community thrive? In Carbondale, I think it was stated that we have some pretty strong entrepreneurs that are bringing pretty intelligent, thoughtful people to town. And through that, we may be able to increase sales tax because we have higher incomes or more people that are thriving. And I think that's important to keep in mind. I don't think I'm smart enough to know how many vacant stores it's okay to have on Main Street. But what I know is it's thriving right now. And that when I talk to other communities around Western Colorado, we're the envy of most communities. And so while I think we can always do better and we're striving for that, I think right now we have a pretty healthy balance. And so our job, again, is to listen to the businesses. As Heather said, we're doing that right now. And I'm really excited about the energy from a lot of our downtown businesses to figure out if there are hurdles that we can remove, because I think we've done that pretty successfully and we're ready to tackle more. But it's a balance. So what we've strived to do is to listen and remove those hurdles as they come, because we're not the ones who are going to define our economic future. Our community is, and we'll try and help make that happen.
Thank you, Dan. For those of you just joining us on the radio, my name is Gavin Dahl, station manager for KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the Carbondale Trustee Candidates Forum at the 3rd Street Center, co-hosted by the Soper Sun and the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce and the 3rd Street Center. And so we've done two questions, and we're going to try to do two more and maybe even three more if we have time. So let's just keep rolling here. What do you think the town and its residents can do to reduce our impacts on the environment? And Heather, we're going to start with you.
Ride the bus. Really, right? I think that there's a tremendous amount of individual ownership to this question about how we operate in our everyday lives. And there are so many opportunities in this town to reduce every aspect of our footprint. From getting a certificate to do your own energy audit for effectively no cost, to getting rebates when you make changes based on those energy audits, to an incredible trail and transit system to go ahead and get out of the car, to centers of work if you don't work in town, to figure out who to carpool with, ways to reduce your waste stream. The new city market, not just ours, but the region city market, if you saw the article about moving into compost, that it's, you know, 4 million pounds of waste that they're going to remove from the waste stream and move to compost. So really being able to see those opportunities that are brought forth, not always out of a regulatory aspect, out of the board. Some are, but not all. And then being an individual who is excited to seize on those things, regardless of what you believe in, sometimes just because it'll save you money and it can be more fun and better for you health-wise, all of those things. And so I think that to me, the environmental aspect of our community is only one piece regulatory, and then a big piece is how we just live our lives as individuals and being excited to be a part of the opportunities that present themselves to us, and how to have a better footprint.
Thank you. That was Heather Henry. Next up is Luis Iones.
So, as a parent, I think we can set an example for our children. In terms of, and they can also in turn set an example for us in how to reduce the impacts, whether it's through waste diversion, composting, doing everything we can, being smart consumers about what it is we pick up every day, whether it's something that maybe we don't really need this, product. But as I think as a town also, we are already a model of energy efficiency considering what the rest of the county looks like. And I think we need to continue along the path of what we already have here as resources through CLEAR and CORE here at the 3rd Street Center, because so much of what we can encourage is people to really just do the right thing in using public transportation. I know everyone here in Carbondale loves to bike. So, that's something that everyone already does, or hopefully we can encourage to do more. And just continue along that path that we can be an example to the rest of the valley and really other towns about how we can reduce really the impact on our environment, because to us it matters so much. So thanks.
It's Luis Iones. Next up is Lonnie Kitching.
So in my industry, which is outdoor outfitting, we have really, our board has taken a firm stand on modeling what environmental impacts do to harm our riparian resources and all of our landscape. So we've taken a firm stand not to use bottled water when we take our clients out. And we explain why. It's a constant conversation of education when we're out there with them in the wild. We, of course, do a lot of, well, exclusively catch and release to preserve the riparian health and that of our wildlife. We've gone to picking up garbage, so everybody has to pick up a bag of garbage as we're floating along the river. We do not put lead in the water, so no lead anchors, no lead weights on our tackle. So it's educating others outside of our community, I think, that this particular industry has contributed to the most. Because we just represent, I think, clean living as it is. So let's just spread that around. Now, individually, of course, it's how you manage your waste. So that's a big thing, you know, pick up after yourself. That's always a big mantra. You know, try to drive as few miles as you can. but yeah, so that's basically it, what we're doing here.
Thank you. That was Lonnie Kitching. And next up is Erica Sparhawk.
So the town of Carbondale, this board of trustees has adopted an updated version of the Climate and Energy Action Plan. And it does lay out a series of actions that the town can take to continue the leadership on clean energy. And then also, you know, kind of articulates how members of the community can work towards the goal. As a board, we've set the goal. We've targeted carbon neutrality by 2050. So that takes into account our carbon footprint in our transportation, our waste, and our buildings. Transportation and our residential buildings are the most here in the town of Carbondale. So it's really, again, that becomes, like everybody else has said, up to the individuals to take action on that. We are incredibly lucky. I feel like we all keep saying how lucky we are to live in a place with a rapid transit system. I mean, the fact that it can take you almost as much time or the same amount of time to ride the bus from here to Aspen as it does to drive, and then you throw in a snowstorm and you're glad you're on that bus, is a huge asset to our community and makes it, you know, I think the ridership with for RAFTA increased 30% when they implemented BRT. So we've got the tools to do it in our community, and we can all do it, and I think we all want to do it as well. So I think that's part of it. The town is definitely a leader. Every town building, they track their energy usage to make sure that the buildings are off at night and off on weekends, unless somebody's working there or it's the rec center. All the schools in Roaring Fork School District track their energy as well for the same reason. And it also helps energy consultants in the area identify whether solar is working, you know, making sure all the panels on this building are working. So we're definitely a leader. And that's why we adopted this climate action plan, because we, being a leader and knowing the community we're in, we know we can meet the goals if we all work towards them together. So, and there's lots of resources in the community if you'd like to find out more about what you can do. Come see me afterwards.
Thank you, Erica Sparhawk. Next up is April Spaulding.
Thank you. Absolutely. We have a lot of great nonprofits and for-profits, you know, green energy. What's the word I'm looking for? Businesses, or, you know, that are teaching us. And right there is exactly what I want to say, is I am all about the education, not so much the mandate. I'm not a big fan of mandating or making a law on every little thing. I think education is huge. I think education and letting the community know how to reduce our footprint on the environment is so much more important than just saying we need to make a law about this. I think one of the things somebody was telling me the other day, that they had been asked, why don't we have a recycle center in Carbondale? How could we do that? We need to find out how to do that. How can we man that? Maybe volunteers. I think that was a wonderful idea that I heard from a friend of mine. I think that that would be a great educational platform to go out to the Girl Scouts and the high school students and the senior matters. You know, we can teach them how to do this. And if we had a recycling center that was set up even once a month, and it could be run by volunteers and looked over by the town, and I think that would be fantastic to have here in Carbondale. I think that it's important to everybody. It's important to the hunters. It's important to our future generation. It's important to our outdoor enthusiasts, the mountain bikers, everybody cares about the environment. I very rarely hear someone say that they don't care about that. So that's out there. The education is what we need. I do believe that. I think that, you know, we hear a lot about, like I said, the over-mandating of things. I've heard from several developers, land developers and builders, build anywhere in the Roaring Fork Valley, but don't go to Carbondale. They have way too many restrictions. And that's sad and that's scary. I understand caring about the environment. But as I said, I think that there's better ways to steer people towards that. Thank you.
Thanks, April Spaulding. So we still have time for two more. Mayor, do you want to chime in? Sorry about that.
I'll just add a little bit from a different perspective. And the question is what we can do essentially to protect the environment. And I think the shorter answer is almost nothing by ourselves. And really where we've been successful is partnering with other organizations and other entities. And it's allowed for us to really achieve a lot. Everybody has mentioned RAFTA. We wouldn't be able to mitigate our transportation impact without RAFTA, without eight jurisdictions coming together and acting as one. We wouldn't have been able to make the advancements to the buildings that Erica mentioned if we didn't come together as Garfield Clean Energy, an entity of an organization of five or six entities. And likewise with solar, until really the solar garden idea came up, it was still a little bit of a challenge to invest in solar. So that's one of the things that I'm focused on, is how can we strengthen those partnerships so that we can multiply our impact, because it has been a priority for the town. It'll continue to be. But partnerships are really the answer for me.
That was candidate for mayor, Dan Richardson. So just want to remind our listeners at home and everybody in the room here tonight that we have five candidates for trustees and just four seats open. And so this next question is intentionally broad. And the Soper Sun crew and the chamber and I, we discussed this. We wanted to leave this broad so that you could speak to what you think are other big issues. But really the key to this question is, what would you do as a trustee to address larger community issues, things we haven't covered tonight? This is sort of a chance for you to talk about some of your priorities and really what's the difference between what you can do as a member of the community now, all of you are involved, versus what you can do as a trustee. And so we want to start with Luis, please.
That's a good question. I think one of the things we can do, there's been so much talk about our economic future and development, not just here in Carbondale, but in the Valley. But I think a lot what we can do is diversify our economy. You hear a lot about entrepreneurship, the Glen X space that has been opened here, the future of Main Street, what, you know, a new city market could bring to our town. And I think as a trustee, it'd be great to try and find incentives that can create that diversity in our economy, so that you look at areas of Western Garfield County that are just so dependent on oil and gas, and they live and die by that economy. And to me, being able to not have that be something that our town is so dependent on is really, I think, a way to free ourselves from that. So to me, it would be important to find ways to really reach out to new businesses and entrepreneurs, and find what it is that we can do as a board and as trustees to really find ways to encourage people to invest more in our town, whether that's through smarter, you know, real estate development, or just any idea that really people can come to the table and say, this is something that you guys can do that really would benefit the town and, in essence, our financial outlook. So I think just diversifying our economy. Thanks.
Thank you, Luis. Back down to the end of the table to Lonnie Kitching, please.
Thank you. One of the things that I'm really interested in is expanding our healthcare resources. I've heard from a lot of different people that I've spoken with and seen it actually, that we're short on specialists who serve pediatric needs, as an example. Or senior needs. People have to go to Grand Junction to get their macular degeneration treated, and there is no one here that addresses rheumatoid arthritis, as an example. You either have to go to Denver or maybe Boulder. So I understand that it's because we're in a rural environment here that it's difficult to attract physicians that'll come serve our community. for more than, you know, a couple of times a month, perhaps. But as we're purporting to grow, we really do need to pay attention to how we're going to keep our citizenry healthy and not make them have to go outside of the community in order to get their services. And like with any business, and I hate to equate healthcare to a business, but that's what it's become, it's really vetting or making sure they understand what it takes to be successful here in this environment. We've seen a lot of businesses come and go because they get attracted by the lure of being in the Roaring Fork Valley, situated between Aspen and Vail, and these supposed dollars that go along with that, when in reality we're very seasonal. And you, as a business owner, need to make sure that you have a way to sustain yourself in what would be your off season. We see that with restaurants closing in the winter. We see that with our outdoor industries diversifying and doing, you know, backcountry skiing in the winter and biking in the summer. So it's really talking to those folks, healthcare included, to make sure that they understand how they're going to support us and what it takes to stay here and be successful.
Thank you. That was Lonnie Kitching. And next up is Erica Sparhawk.
One of the things that I've learned in the last year serving on the Board of Trustees is all of you and all of our citizens have lots of ideas as well. And none of us are coming to the table with, like, here's the roadmap and I'm following it and I'm not veering out of this. And it is really important that we listen and we take your expertise and incorporate it into whatever topic or issue we either might be discussing, or maybe it's something we need to bring up and bring to the table. An example is we had a group of moms come and talk to us about childcare and how we have a lack of childcare in the community and what could we do about it. And it's turned into an interesting discussion on our board and with planning and zoning on how our land use code impacts where childcare facilities could be built. And we haven't come to any decisions yet, but what started as, you know, a discussion with a couple with the Childcare Coalition has led to us listening and being open to, oh, we didn't realize that we were the hardest community to build a childcare facility in compared to all of our neighbors. What can we do to fix that, or how can we address this? And so I encourage everybody, I mean, I have seen it happen on the board. When you come and talk to us and we get engaged as citizens, everybody wants to listen, but you guys have expertise in your special area. And so I think the most important role of a trustee is to be open to new ideas and to listen and to look to all of you for outside expertise to come and help us with the best path forward. So,
thank you, Erica Sparhawk. April Spaulding, you're up next. Thank you.
Alrighty. So let's see, what do I think we can do to address the big issues? Well, big issue we haven't talked about yet, housing, very important. Again, as Erica mentioned, talking to the experts. I sat down with a local architect a week ago, and I just learned so many things, and it was amazing to hear her ideas and her concepts on things. And one of the things that I loved to hear her say was about building up, that instead of, you know, we sprawling across all our open land, it may not be your favorite building across the street from the American Legion over there at the corner of Colorado and Third, but they really use the land in such a wonderful way. All of their parking is taken care of underneath and they live above it. I would love to see more smaller, that would probably be part of our zoning redo maybe, but you know, being able to build smaller homes would be amazing. They've done this in Basalt for housing, and I think that's great. Seeing that we have more putting housing above our especially any new buildings, any new storefronts or those kind of things. If we had housing above it, they do that in Orange County, California, and every building has a loft above it, so people get to live there, and it helps out instead of taking all of our open land. And yeah. I think that encouraging the people that work in Carbondale and maybe have their small businesses, such as myself, make sure that they're paying their taxes. I think that's important. I don't think it always happens, but, you know, maybe I'm not right about that. But, you know, I think that we need to follow up on things like that. And, you know, I think we're doing a great job. I think housing, of course, and our seniors are so important. I completely agree with Lonnie on that. I have a soft spot for that, and I think that we need to make sure that we're taking care of them. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, April Spaulding. And one more answer from the candidates on this one is from Heather Henry.
Thank you. You know, as Erica said, I think as a trustee, we our job is really to facilitate, in some respects, facilitate a lot of the ideas that come forward directly from citizens, facilitate citizens' ability to get involved in the community. So the Board of Trustee and Mayor is not the only place to have a tremendous impact on the future of the town, from our Bikes, Ped, Trails Commission, to our e-board, to planning and zoning, to a tree board. Really, there's so many avenues for citizens to get involved via their passion. And then our job, really, and I think this existing board especially, is then there to sit and listen and help facilitate the amazing ideas, decisions, and things that come forward from those citizens and citizen groups. Specifically, I think we are also the conduit to other regional groups. So as things come forward, we're the ones that can kind of help carry that message, say, to RAFTA, say, to Rude Eye Water and Power, say, to Garfield Clean Energy, say, to the new Affordable Housing Initiative that is trying to gather together multiple jurisdictions to try and tackle affordable housing way beyond advocacy and actually make an impact and get units in the ground. So I think that that's where I see that big difference between citizen and trustee, and that the two are really tied together in a very critical way as we listen to each other very carefully.
Thank you, Heather Henry. Any other comments, Mayor Dan?
Of course. Thank you. I think there's been some great comments, and I echo Heather and Erica's comments about where it's not so much the big ideas, but how you hear them and what you can do with them once you do hear them. There's such a difference right now between what's happening on the national level and what's happening on the local level. At the local level, it's where the rubber meets the road, and we have to find solutions. We can't pass it on to states or to counties or to municipalities. We have to find our own solution. And so we have to work it out amongst the board. And if we're not able to communicate well, if we're not able to listen to our neighbors and to our colleagues, then things just don't work. And so I think the most important thing for trustees, as it's been said, is that we really do listen to the constituents, we listen to each other, and we figure out how to find that common ground. And again, it may sound cliche-ish, but it is so important. And it is so lacking in Washington right now, but I think that's what differentiates us. So I also think it's why we've been able to accomplish so much, is we have a board right now that we don't have grandstanders, we don't have people that are anti this. It's a group that works well together, and I think that's the most important thing to become a trustee. So I'm glad to be part of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So we have time for just a quick one here. I want to make sure people know that in addition to voting for four trustees and deciding whether to cast a vote for the unopposed mayor, there is another item on the ballot. And I want to quickly read for you ballot issue 2A and just ask each of the candidates to tell us where you stand. Shall an existing mill levy in the amount of 1 5/10 mills upon all of the taxable real property within the town of Carbondale, Colorado, that would otherwise expire on December 31st, 2020, be extended through December 31st, 2030, such that up to $272,892 in revenues collected in 2021 and such amounts as are received by the town annually thereafter, regardless of amount, will continue to be collected, retained, and spent for the purpose of constructing public street, streetscape, and related improvements within the town, including expanded downtown parking, pedestrian safety, street lights, and beautification, as a voter-approved revenue change and an exception to limits which would otherwise apply under Article X, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution. That's ballot issue 2A. And Lonnie, start with you. Where do you stand on ballot issue 2A?
Well, in plain English, I mean, you know, I hear something about increasing taxes, and like most people in the room, I blanch at the idea. But It's certainly important to our town to be able to maintain its public works and so forth, but I would question if that 4.3% would be amortized over the 10-year period or if that's a year-over-year increase. It wasn't really clear to me in the legalese that was just read aloud. And then the other thing is, given some of the streetscapes and the parking and so forth that's included in this, and also seeing how we have some open space that needs to be built or some fallow businesses that are potentially candidates for further development, would it not be reasonable to expect the developers to share in the expense of the parking improvements, as an example, as they would be the beneficial end users of that improvement? So those are some of the things that I would think about before casting a vote for this thing that is impossible to understand.
So folks, just in the interest of time, we don't actually have time to give full answers to this. I apologize. I should have been more clear. I'm hoping to get a yes or no. It sounds like Lonnie is maybe unsure. Is that acceptable for me to summarize there?
Yes.
Great. So if you wouldn't mind just giving a yes, no, or you don't know answer, just so we can make sure we wrap up on time. Sorry.
Yes, I support the renewal. It's an existing property tax, so I strongly support it.
I do believe in our infrastructure, if that's what it's taking care of or helping with.
I strongly support it. It's important to understand that it's an extension of an existing tax and not a new tax, and is how we get significant streetscape projects done and do still share costs of developer-borne improvements.
Yes, I strongly support it. I think it's critically important, and Main Street would not look the way it does now if we didn't have this tax before.
I am a yes, and you'll read a guest column in the Soper Sun this week with my reasons why.
Great. Everyone, and sorry for my confusion there in being clear about the time. So we just want to give everyone a chance to have 1 minute each for closing remarks, and let's start down at the end with Lonnie Kitching, please.
Closing remarks. So one of the things that I'm very passionate about is preserving our natural landscape. There seems to be some kind of an initiative afoot that's driving our municipalities to developing, in particular the rivers, with all of these resorts that are going in and kayak parks and so forth. And, you know, I'm okay with making improvements if it helps and betters the riparian, but I'm not really okay with using our natural resources to drive new revenue.
Lonnie, closing remarks from Erica Sparhawk.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for everybody who signed my petition and got me on the ballot. I have loved being a trustee for the last year, and I want to continue serving my community for the next 4 years.
Thank you, Erica. And closing remarks from April Spaulding.
I also want to thank everybody for being here. Thanks, Katie and Kay and the Soper Sun. And just say that I just believe that listening is so important. I believe everybody in our community deserves a voice. And if I'm elected, I will strive to listen and hear. I am not bringing an agenda. I want to hear what people need and want. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, April. Closing remarks from Heather Henry.
Thank you, Katie and Kay, Soper Sun, the Chamber, for hosting. Thank you all for attending, take an hour out of your evening to be here. Thanks, everybody at home, for listening. I have to say, having sat on this board, I've volunteered a lot since I moved to this valley, but I am truly honored and humbled, frankly, to have this position, both to be with the current board that I've been with. It's truly some amazing people, and to represent the incredible town of Carbondale. So I look forward to 4 more years. Frankly, it truly has been an honor.
And thank you, Heather. Final closing remarks from Luis Iones.
Well, thank you so much to everyone here for attending and folks for listening. Really thanks to my family for supporting my run. I know it's taken a lot of time from them, but it has been really eye-opening for me to be on the board so far, and it's something that I hope to continue to do because I feel like I've just gotten a little bit of a glimpse of it, and I want to continue to do the good work that I think is important for our town. So thanks to everyone for coming out, and look forward to your support.
Thank you, Luis. And closing remarks for Mayor Dan Richardson.
Thank you, everybody, for making this happen. And thank you for supporting all of us who have been elected. When people ask me about being mayor, I say sometimes I have to pinch myself. It is really a fun job to be the mayor of Carbondale. And it really is. And like I said, it's because of all the organizations that make it that way. And as it's been said tonight, we've been successful because we have an engaged community with motivated folks, and we try and respond, and that's fun. So make your opinions known, come to us, let us know what needs to happen, and we'll do what we can to remove hurdles. But thank you.
Let's get a round of applause for all the candidates. For those of you listening on the radio, this is Gavin Dahl from KD&K, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I want to thank our co-host, the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, online at carbondale.com, Sopra Sun at soprasun.com, the Third Street Center at thirdstreetcenter.net, and KD&K at kdnk.org. We will try to post the audio of this forum on the KD&K website by tomorrow, and ballots should be mailed next week. Don't forget to vote. The deadline is April 3rd. Thanks so much, everybody.